Good morning. Glad each of you are here today. And today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So today we're going to talk about that. And what does that mean? It means we're only 5 days away from Black Friday. So as you think about that, think about Thanksgiving coming out, and you know the things you got thankful for. I know for me, my work, I have Thursday off and Friday off for Thanksgiving. So I'm thankful that I'll have a short work week this week. But I'm on call for burglaries for the whole valley that same day of Thanksgiving, so hopefully I don't get called out. I wouldn't be thankful for that. So if that didn't happen, I'd be thankful to give the have the day with my family. Now, you think about Thanksgiving and the things you do with your family. You have your family traditions that are special for you, the special dishes that you have. Well, one of the things we had in our family before with Betsy and Boyd, we'd sit around the Thanksgiving table, all anxious to eat, and they wanted to go around the table and say what you're thankful for. It's like, ah. You know, I've been waiting for an hour for the turkey and everything. So as you ponder that before Thanksgiving, you think, what am I thankful for in life? What is it that you're thankful for? Your family, your home, your car, the many blessings you have in life. That's good because as Christians, we should be thankful people. We read in Colossians 3 that as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, that we should be thankful. And whatever we should do giving thanks to God. We should be thankful also as Americans. I know I've traveled abroad a lot, and I know everybody doesn't have it as good as we do here in the United States. I know lots of times we get mad at the government, and we think, oh, things are terrible. But if you look at it in the context of the rest of the world, here in the United States, we have it really good. I've traveled in Asia and Africa, and I've seen those poor people over there. And that's probably the dominant portion of the world's population is those in Asia and Africa. And you go there, and you see these very, quote, dirt poor people. They have a house made out of mud and sticks. The roof is thatch. The floor is dirt. Living, you know, have a little garden at the back trying to scratch out a little bit of existence. They don't have a big government plan there for Social Security. They don't have, you know, welfare. They don't have WIC. They don't have Section 8 housing. They're sitting there trying to scratch out a life as best they can. I know when I was there that I was living on a little stipend of $300 a month. And even at that, I had enough money to hire a house worker for $25 a month. And he worked for $25 a month, kept the house up a little bit, fed the chickens and whatnot. He even went with me into the villages as I preached sermons and stuff to help translate for me. But there he was, had a small little thatch roof house, had a wife, had a child. And over there, you can't afford diapers. So the child, if anything, all he has on is a little t-shirt. He doesn't have any diapers because there's no washing machines. There's no money for washing powder. The floors are made of dirt, so just kind of let it go, and that's what they do over there. They're just making it as best they can. So we look back and we think, man, I am so fortunate that I was born here in the good old USA. And we think about all the blessings we have being there. I'm thankful for lots of things we have here, my big house and the air conditioning we have. I mean, we live in the desert, so that's a great thing. And I look even at my garage. My garage is nicer than most people's houses in the third world. I've got a garage with an air conditioner and a heater and turned into a little man cave and everything. So it's, you know, real nice. So if you think of these other people, they don't have that. You know, they don't have $2 Denny pancakes just down the street or 49-cent coffee over here at McDonald's just right there. We have all these things, especially here in Vegas, being a 24-hour town. Everything is right there within our grasp. Everything is within our reach 24 hours a day. So it's not all bad. We read in Ecclesiastes 5:19, where Solomon says, "Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God." So we've got these good things, and God gave them these things to us. So we should be able to enjoy that. And I'm thankful for all my stuff that I've got. I'm glad that I've got it. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful I'm healthy enough to enjoy my stuff and go to my job. So when things, you know, it's not always that way for everybody. Even here, sometimes people struggle. So we know recently we had the economic downturn. Near the downturn, a lot of people lost jobs. I know my sister-in-law just lost her job this last week. Here we are right before Christmas, you know. Wow, that's really a kick in the teeth. So it's not always good. Sometimes things are tough. There's struggles for people out there, even here in the land of plenty. But as we think about all the struggles, we think about, let's consider what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 95. Psalms 95. So turn there if you like. And the psalmist states, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgivings. and extol him with music and song, like we have here today. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is made, for he made it. In his hands that form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So we have good things to be thankful for, and those good things abound all around us. As we look around us, we say all the good things. And you think, you look out and see the blue skies and the rainbows, and it makes me think of that song. Remember Blue Skies and Rainbows, kind of a church song, camp song? And the lyrics of that song go like this. Blue skies and rainbows, sunbeams from heaven, are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. Because we're Christians, we can see these things and appreciate. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone since he promised me that we never would depart. So we're not alone in this world as we go through. So as we go through, even when we're struggling, we have someone there with us. Green grass and flowers, all blooming in springtime, are works of the Master I live for each day. Tall mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me, all make me aware of the one who made it all. So as Christians, even when we struggle, we can look outside and we can be thankful. We can be thankful for more than all these things because we know God has provided all these things to us. So we're thankful for the bountiness of harvest. And when you think about Thanksgiving, that's kind of where it all started. The pilgrims were thankful for the bountiful harvest. They were thankful that God had blessed them and they had food to eat, and they were thankful for the harvest. So that's what Thanksgiving was all about, the bountiful blessings we're thankful for in God. And the psalmist goes on to say more about that in Psalms 107, where he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." That's you, the redeemed of the Lord. "Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands. From east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands," Vegas, "finding no way to a city where they could. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them from a straight way to a city that could be settled, and gave them." So we give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the hungry and he gives good things to the thirsty. So God has given many good things in life. He's given us the great land we see. He's given the bountiful harvest that we'll enjoy on Thanksgiving dinner. But he's given more than that. In Jesus, we read in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." So as Christians, there's more to it than the thankfulness of just the blessings we see, the things we see on our Thanksgiving table, the beauty of nature and mankind, thankfulness for the bountiful of our harvest. We read in 1 Thessalonians 3 that if we want to really live, then you are standing firm in the Lord, to really live. So we think about it, as Christians, we can really live, get more out of life than the regular Joe, because we can see past just the superficial and know the depth of our Thanksgiving blessings, the depth of the many things that God gave us, including his son. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he goes on to say, "Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard. Love them because of their work. Live in peace with each other," us guys here in this room. "Strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Giving thanks in all circumstances," it says. Giving thanks in all circumstances. So things have been I was lucky through the economic downturn. I kept my job, but some people are struggling through life. I'm lucky right now. Although I'm 57, I feel pretty strong, and my health's pretty good. But there's others here in this body that are struggling. They're in the hospital. Things are going. But in all these things, it says, give thanksgiving. Give thanks. Why is that? Because we're not going through those things alone. We have the brothers and sisters here, the implements of God's grace to us, right here to help us through. And we have a God that has not abandoned us, but is here with us as we go through all these things. So even though we live in a great country, and compared to the rest of the world, it's pretty good, still a lot of people in our country got a hard time dealing with all their blessings. Think of all these rich guys, these movie stars and these athletes. they're millionaires. They got these planes, and they got these houses. And I was in one of these houses the other day here in town, and I walked in there, and the bad guy didn't steal much. And the guy said, yeah, the bad guy was really stupid. He didn't realize the doorknobs are made of solid gold. Holy cow. So it's like, you have no idea how the other half lives. So, but a lot of these people can't deal with that. They can't deal with the troubles they have in life. They have the good things, but like Elvis and different ones, they couldn't handle it all, and their life crashed. Job tells us that, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Do we? Are we only thankful to our God when things are rolling our way, when we got it all hitting on all cylinders and all things are great? Is that the only time we're thankful to God? We don't accept God when things are tough? In 2 Corinthians 9, we read, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Expressions of thanks to God. And he goes on to say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks to God. So as you think about that phrase he used, the expressions of thanks to God. What do we have in our life? How do we express our thanks to God? What are the things we do that express our thanks to God? Do we show our thanks to Jesus? That indescribable gift. There's a story in the Bible that Jesus tells about 10 lepers, and that's found in Luke 17. And in the story, Jesus says, now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveling on the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was cleansed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Where are the 9? Where are they? So when you think about the things that you've been given in life, are you the one that comes back to God, the one who comes back to Jesus and says, thank you? Or are you one of the 9 who just take what they can and go? So are you the one that comes back or one of the 9? How do you express your thankfulness to him? There's a story in Matthew 25, if you would turn to that one. Matthew 25, it's a parable that begins in verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. Now, the New NIV changed it. The parable is the parable of the talents, which was good because you guys can then make the spin off that story of the talents they're talking about, giving talents, and then we spin that with talents we have in life. But the talent they were talking about were talents of gold, so it was a measure of gold. So in the New NIV, as I put the lesson together, they've updated that and said, oh, it's a bag of gold. So instead of that cool word talent in there, it came out with this bag of gold part. So it's the story of the bag of gold instead of the story of the talents. But ironically, as you look at gold, gold has gone up to $1,202 today. So 1 ounce of gold is back to over $1,000, which an original talent of gold was worth way back when. So it's back to being one coin again. But anyway, so the bag of gold story, Matthew 25. And Jesus says, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them, and each according to his ability. And when he went on his journey, the man who had received 5 bags of gold or 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. And so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more talents. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought it to the other, about the other 5, says, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold came also. Master, he says, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have earned 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. You knew that the harvest where I would have where I've not sown and gathered where I not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I could have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has more will be given, and they who have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken. And throw that wicked servant outside. And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you think the parable, the story, again, the good thing about the talents, he's talking about what has God given to you. You know, we're all blessed in different ways. We all have different abilities. Each one of us are different. We have different abilities, different talents. So how has God blessed you? And what abilities has he given you? And what have you done with it? Have you made something from it? Or have you sat on it and hidden it? Have you done anything with it? Or is it just going to be buried in the sand? What do you do with the things that God gives you? In Timothy, he told us what to do. He said, with these gifts given to him, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. This is Paul to Timothy. Recalling in tears, I long to see you so I may be filled with joy as I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived also in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm now persuaded also lives to you. For this reason, you have faith, I remind you to fan to flame the gift of God. Fan to flame. So it says, Timothy, you've been given things in your life. You've been given things by God. Do something with them. Fan it to flame. Don't sit there and let the ember go out. Don't let it just die on the vine. Fan to flame the gift that God has given you. And he goes on to say, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. So God has put a good deposit in each of us. We all have a good deposit like Timothy. And we're expected, just like Timothy, to do something with the talent that we were given. The Bible has several of these stories that we can consider as far as what do people do with the things that God gives them. Now, one that comes to mind is Solomon and all his wealth. Solomon was given the gift of wisdom, and it says in 1 Kings 10 that people heard about this. And the Queen of Sheba, she comes to see Solomon, and as she comes to see all that he has, the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seatings of his officials, the attendants at his tables, all these things. And she says, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things till I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told to me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded all the reports. How happy your people must be. Solomon had it all. But you know what? He squandered away. We go on to read in the story, sadly, in 1 Kings 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. And these are the ones that the nations which the Lord told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast in his love to them. And as Solomon grew old, these wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord. So Solomon died doing evil in the lives of God. So although he had all these things to be thankful for, he didn't hold it, keep it together. And at the end of Solomon's days, he lost it all. Another story we read about is Samson with the great strength that he has. And the Samson's talked about in Judges 13. And as Samson was given all these great strengths and powers to go out and do things, we read about how he killed a lion with his hands, how he killed 30 men in one case. One time he got the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 guys. And then one time he pulled the gates off a city and pulled the city gates down and carried the city gates to the top of the mountain. He could do all these things through God's power. But again, he stumbled. A woman caused him some trouble. Delilah coaxed out his secret, and he had his hair cut off, lost his power, had his eyes gouged out, and then he was tied to the pillars. But Samson realized the error of his ways and came back to God. Samson says, Lord, one more time, be with me one more time, bring my strength back just this once. And the Lord did, and Samson had his strength back for his final moments to push down the temple, and it collapsed on him and all the people that were there in the story. And the other example I'd like to bring back, the final one here, is the rich man and Lazarus. We read about that in Luke 16. Here the rich man goes through, and this is after his life. It says in the story, there was a rich man dressed in purple and fine linen who lived in luxury every day. He had it all. He had a lot to be thankful for. And at his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores, longing to eat what fell from his table. The beggar died, and finally the rich man also died, and then they were in heaven, and then the tables were turned. And then it was, what did the rich man do with what he had, and what did poor little Lazarus do with what he had? And as it turned out, Lazarus did more. So as you think about all these things, you know, do we wait until it's too late? You know, the rich man, he waited and waited and waited too late. He says, please send someone back to my brothers. Well, it was too late for the rich man and his brothers. It was too late. So sometimes you think about, is it too late? You know, there's a story in the Bible about a man who was given a second chance. His name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a great king, and his story is talked about in 2 Kings 11. And in the story of Hezekiah, he was 25 years old. He was a good and great king. He went out and did wonderful things. He brought the people. He followed God with his whole heart. But as things happen in life, King Hezekiah got sick. And the prophet came in and said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. So he wasn't too much good on his bedside manner. So he said, you're going to die, dude. So Hezekiah was distraught that he was going to die. And he turned and cried and prayed to God. I've been trying my whole life to be a good man. You know, I don't want to die at this point. God heard his prayer and changed his mind. He sent the prophet back in there. He said, go tell Hezekiah I'm giving him a second chance. He's going to live another 15 years. And then he could go forth and do good from that. Can you imagine if you had a second chance in life? If you have a chance to do over chance, what do you do with your life? All the things that God gives you, just like Hezekiah, if you had a chance to do over, how would you do it? What would you do? Now, there's a movie that came out a few years ago called Saving Private Ryan. Anybody see that movie? Pretty good movie. And in the movie, the story is that a lady has five sons that go off to World War II. And in the start of the movie, four of the five sons are killed in different theaters of the war. The big brass finally figures out, oh my goodness, this woman has lost four of her five children. That's too much for anyone to bear. Send someone out to get Private Ryan and get him out of the war. Let's save him. We can't save everybody, but we're going to save that one guy. So in the movie, Tom Hanks and his band of men go off, and they're going through all the countryside, and their mission is to save Private Ryan. So as they go forth, this thing and that thing happens, and then the movie, Tom Hanks and his crew are all dead. But Private Ryan is saved. Ryan was given a second chance. And at the end of the movie, he's there at the graves of Tom Hanks, and he's crying. And he says to his family, have I been a good enough man? All these men, they died for me. And what have I done with my life? Have I done something with it that's meaningful and has purpose? And that's hard to see sometimes. I know when Dory and I were signed at the Pentagon, one Friday a month, they had a warrior's walk. And the warrior's walk was all the big staff guys, the colonels and the generals of the Pentagon, they lined up the hallway. And all the wounded men who were at Walter Reed, they would come down that hallway, and everyone would thank them for their service. And it was heart-wrenching, because some young 19-year-old kid was in a wheelchair. He had no legs, no hands, a piece of one arm was all he had left, and his little 19-year-old wife was pushing him down. So you think, how terrible, 19 years old, he's lost all his arms and legs. And there were several people like that. And we go through, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for what you did. So you think about the people who have trouble in life, and they lost their arms and legs. So I know whenever I get out there, oh, I'm tired today. I don't want to go do my exercise. I think back to those comrades, the ones on the Wounded Warrior Walk, you know. So that could be me. I could be there with no legs, no arms. So thankful for the blessings that I have in God to go forth and use those blessings while you've got them. You don't know how long you'll keep them. Everyone, you know, can lose the blessings they have. So what do you do with all the blessings? What do you do? Look at your life. What have you done with your life? Has your life been an expression of thankfulness to God for the way you've lived and all the things that you've done? Have you expressed that in what you've done in life? Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows what he reaps, reaps what he sows. So are we living a life of expressed thankfulness to our God, or are we fooling ourselves? Because we're surely not fooling God. Hebrews tells us that we are to be thankful and to worship God acceptably. And Romans goes forth and tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is holy and pleasing to God and our true and proper worship. So our worship is beyond this building. Our worship is our lives. And our expression and thanks to our God is that which we do with these lives. So how do we choose to express our thanks to God in the many Thanksgiving blessings he's given us? The indescribable gift of God, our salvation, our abundant lives, full and free, in tune with our God, our Creator, who sees all things and gives us all things. This morning, I want to exalt everyone to review and do, to look at where you are in life. A new year is coming. Here we are in Thanksgiving period. The holidays are coming, and we'll start a new year. So as we start this new year, think about the many things that I could do. And we have a mechanism for that here at the church, these ministry survey sheets. A lot of things are offered on there. Oh, there's many things people can do. As you think about that, there's more of those in the back on the way out there on the little podium. Think about, should I review the things, the talents that God's given me in life? Is there more that I can do? The ministry sheets are one avenue, helps us keep us organized a bit. There's many things here that need your help. The Kingdom's kids over here, you know, Mike and Gail doing a great job. They need help. You know, the classes for the little children, they need help. The more you come forward, the more you can help. Poor Daniel McDonald is doing the apprentice ministry all by himself. People need help. There's more we can do in the Kingdom, and we can do it if everyone applies the talents that God gave them and gives those talents to the rest of us here to do good into his Kingdom. So look forth out there what you can do. A week ago last Saturday, I was doing scouting for food with the Scouts, and I was amazed. These little Cub Scouts went out and handed these little bags out all over the community. And then on Saturday, they were bringing it back. We had a collection point at Cheyenne High School, and they brought in 1,200 cases of food. And those all go into the local food bank. So, you know, who would have dreamed all these little Scouts could bring in that? And that was one district here in the city. A lot of things can happen. And a lot of things can happen with you if you'll allow God to use the talents in your life that he's given you for his good. So this morning, we asked you to think about these things. And I'd like to close with a thought from Psalms 136. If you want, you can kind of mumble along. Part of these goes kind of like responsive things. It says, his love endures forever. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. His love endures forever. To him alone is great wonders. His love endures forever. Who spreads out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. The moon and the star discover the night. His love endures forever. He remembers those in our low estate when we're down. And his love endures forever. He freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. God's love is enduring for you. This morning, if your love hasn't endured for him, you can make that right as together we stand and sing.